Well, I'm sure you've all heard many sermons from John chapter 3, when Nicodemus meets Jesus during the night, and he is told of the need to be born again, or born from above, or born spiritually. You've also probably heard many a sermon on the woman at the well, and the need to be refreshed with that living water, or the Spirit of God. But this morning, I'd like to take just a slightly different angle and look at those two readings together. They're placed very close to each other in John's Gospel, virtually next to each other, but not quite, chapter 3 and chapter 4. And I'll look at the three individuals in those readings. First, of course, Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council, known as the Sanhedrin. Now, the Pharisees get a bad press in the Bible, don't they? But really, they were really trying very hard to do the right thing. They were great followers of the law. But the problem with the Pharisees was that they had decided that if it was good to follow the Ten Commandments and the rules laid down in Leviticus, how much better it would be if they expanded all those rules to every part of life, into the minutiae of life. And instead of 10 commandments, they ended up with over 600 rules to follow. And as you can imagine, their sort of holier-than-thou attitude was pretty annoying to the ordinary Jew trying to get on with their lives, and they tended to be fairly unpopular. But Nicodemus came to see Jesus at night. Now, it might have been that he came at night because he was a leader of a popular faction within the Sanhedrin, and he didn't want others in the Sanhedrin to know that he was talking with this popular rabbi from Nazareth. Maybe he was embarrassed that he, as a religious leader of the Jews, needed guidance from Jesus. But whatever the reason was, he wanted to keep it secret. Perhaps he went to see if Jesus, who was popular with the people, would help his faction. Or perhaps he went because he felt he needed to correct Jesus on a certain religious point, which he didn't think Jesus was quite right about. Or maybe he went to have a deep theological discussion with him. Whatever reason he went to see Jesus that night, he certainly got more than he bargained for. Nicodemus realized that Jesus was special because he says that no one can do the miracles you do if he was not blessed by God. But Jesus' challenge to him to be born again or from above or by the Spirit was a shock to him. How can I be born again? Nicodemus believed that he stood in a privileged position with God. He was a son of Abraham. He was a member of the chosen race. He was a leader of the Jews, a devout Pharisee, and he dedicated himself to keeping the rules and the laws. Can it be that I, a leader at the very center of the Jewish faith, can be lacking in anything? Well, Jesus saw that Nicodemus and the Pharisees were trying really hard to be devout and to live a good life, but their efforts were misdirected. You could say that they had a lot of head knowledge, but not a heart that loved those in distress, that loved their neighbors and those in need, and those outside the acceptable circle of orthodox, law-abiding Jews. You could say that the Pharisees were all about doing and following man-made rules and regulations rather than being led by a heart and the Spirit of God. And perhaps the example of Nicodemus is a warning to us all. We may go to church. We may occupy important positions in the church. We can be active in the community. But are we doing it because we love Jesus and our neighbor, or because we feel we ought? Are we trying to earn our way into heaven when we really need to be putting our faith in Jesus and the saving power of the cross? Now, the woman at the well was right at the other end of the religious spectrum. She was an outsider, you would say. Firstly, she was a Samaritan, and the Jews and the Samaritans didn't like each other. The Samaritans hadn't gone into exile in Babylon, and a lot of them had stayed and intermarried with the local Canaanites, and they'd become racially impure. And there's a long history between the Samaritans and the Jews. When Nehemiah started the rebuilding of the temple, the Samaritans came and offered their help, but they were rebuffed. And there's a number of violent clashes over the years, which we haven't really got time to go into this morning, but suffice it to say that one event led to another, and the Jews' hatred for the Samaritans built, and vice versa. And devout Jews tended to avoid traveling through Samaria and would have nothing to do with the Samaritans. But the woman at the well was also a woman who was shunned by her own community. In my reading from the NIV, in fact, you had it from the NIVA amplified, it actually says it was at midday. In my reading, it says it was at the sixth hour, which is midday, according to the Jews. Now, a number of years ago, I traveled in Africa in the country known as the Gambia. And I traveled from the capital city of the Gambia, which is Banjul, which is on the coast, to a village called Basse, which is about 150 miles inland. The roads were terrible. Potholes like you'd never imagined, much worse than the potholes in Devon. And it took us about 10 hours to do that 150 miles. So it was a long, hot, slow trip. And sometimes we had to avoid the potholes and go around a tree and around another bush before we got back on the road. But as we traveled along and through many of the villages, we often saw people gathering around the well, women doing their washing, gathering water. And it was clear to me, well, this was a place of communal gathering. And if the well was not near the village, women would go in the early morning to collect water when it was nice and cool. They wouldn't go in the heat of the day. So here we have this woman who came in the heat of the day to avoid having to talk with her fellow members of the community. And I suspect, as many of you will know, I believe it's Noel Coward who said, "It's only mad dogs and Englishmen who go out in the midday, out in the midday, out in the midday sun." I'm never too sure how many middays there's meant to be in that song, but you get the idea that, you know, Englishmen abroad will go out in the midday sun and repent at their leisure, won't they? But this woman, who knew she would have gone out in the cool of the day if she could, but she had to go in the heat of the day to this well, which was a few miles outside the village, because she didn't want to associate with the other women of the community, because she had a bad reputation. It may have been that she was a prostitute, we don't know for sure, but Jesus says to her that you have had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. She was unclean, outside of acceptable society. She was a woman and a Samaritan. But the amazing thing is that Jesus had time for her. You know, Jesus may have even arranged to meet her there. He may have had a premonition that she would be at the well. And maybe he sent the disciples into the town to buy food so that he could be alone with her and have the opportunity of ministering to her. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law would have been outraged if they knew that Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, had been talking with a Samaritan woman of dubious reputation. And what's more, he even asks this woman for a drink, and he has no vessel to drink with. And the Samaritan woman was amazed in the reading. Can it be that this Jewish rabbi is happy to drink from the same vessel as I am using? A Samaritan, a woman, and a one with a bad reputation. And she is even further amazed as Jesus tells her some of her inmost secrets and realizes that this rabbi was very special indeed. So do we care for those on the outside of respectable society? Are we willing to go and associate with those most in need? Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus caring and ministering for those on the margins of society. And he was always breaking down those cultural barriers that had been erected over the years by misguided Jewish teaching. If Jesus is our role model, then we too need to be out in the community seeking the lost and needy. And Jesus points in the reading for the need for living water, that we need to forget the desires of the flesh, which do not satisfy, but to drink from the living water that only Jesus can supply. It's the same need that Nicodemus had, the need for spiritual refreshment or the Spirit of God to come into our lives. In both readings, Jesus has time for the religious leader who comes in the dark and for the social outcast who he meets at the middle of the day. He sees that both are in need. Nicodemus had been trying really hard, but needed to let the Spirit of God in and to trust in Jesus' message and to act with his heart. And the woman at the well had looked to the wrong things for satisfaction and needed to repent and trust in Jesus. Jesus spent time alone with both. At times, we too need to spend time alone with Jesus to hear what he has to say to us and to seek his guidance for our lives. And the great thing, you know, is that he is always available. We always have that channel of prayer open to us, and we can speak to him. And through reading the Bible, we can seek his guidance for our lives. For some of us, maybe we, like the woman at the well, need to repent of the things that are not right in our lives and believe in Jesus, the Son of God, and the power of forgiveness through the cross. But often our religious life can, if we're not careful, become a bit like Nicodemus. We try really hard to do the right thing. Maybe we try to be things that we're never meant to be. Perhaps we are really active and involved in the community, but we leave little time for worship and end up with a heart that is dry and not full of love for Jesus and our neighbor. It is easy, is it not, to spend all our time doing good deeds and not enough time with the source of that goodness. These two conversations, these two stories about Jesus, indicate how Jesus deals with people. With Nicodemus, who already had great knowledge about religious matters, he deals with much more harshly than the Samaritan woman at the well, with whom there is a much slower build-up in the conversation. He actually asks her to do something for him to start with. And that's often a good way to start a conversation. If you say, I'm looking for so-and-so, or could you tell me the directions to such-and-such? And when we tell others about Jesus, a slow build-up, starting on common ground, is often a better method than going in all guns blazing with, are you saved? Often a two-way conversation is the way forward, rather than a one-sided religious lecture, although to some extent that is what I'm doing at the moment. So Nicodemus was amazed that Jesus should find his faith lacking. Can it be that I, a Jewish leader, need a fresh start and need to be born again? The woman was amazed that Jesus should care and show love for her. Can it be that this Jewish rabbi should care for me, a Samaritan, a woman, and of a dubious reputation? We too should be amazed by God's love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.